I think that we do, right?
So it's 12. So if everyone wants to, I can roll.
Okay.
All right. So good afternoon. It's 12 o'clock here at the Naturopathic Medical Board meeting. I'm Dr. Bruce Sadlick. With me, we have Mr. Casey Hutchison from the Attorney General's Office and our Executive Director, Ms. Gail Anthony. And we'll do a roll call.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popia?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Here.
And Dr. Rubin is absent. We do have quorum.
All right. So we'll go on to number two, declarations of conflicts of interest. And we've already covered that. Civility statement. In accordance with the open meeting law, the board has a civility policy that prohibits any type of disorderly conduct that disrupts the board from carrying out its business. Those violators will be asked once to correct their behavior. If they don't, we'll disconnect you. And number four, I'll need a board motion, but I'd like to go from 4A and roll that all the way through 4S.
Dr. Popia, I'll second that motion for approval.
Okay, I think it's 4A through 4S.
Dr. Sadlick, you made the original motion on that?
Yeah, I did make the original. So Dr., I think Dr. Popia, you seconded it, right?
Correct.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries.
And next we'll do number five is going to be tabled to the next scheduled board meeting. And that will bring us to number six, review consideration possible action regarding failure to provide requested CME documents. And this is Dr. Carol Eastman. Is Dr. Eastman on the phone? No, okay. Ms. Anthony, could you go through that for us?
Yes, Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, Dr. Eastman submitted some documentation regarding her CME that did not meet the requirements. I requested a copy of the actual certificate of completion. I sent the board the ensuing email chain that went on. I gave her another option to go ahead and submit the certificate, and she refused. That's why we have her on the agenda today. This morning, she sent an email early this morning that I forwarded on to the board regarding some sort of medical issue she has. From the email, it appears she's admitting she didn't do the CME, but I was hoping she would be on the line so we could confirm that, but apparently she is not. Dr. Eastman, are you with us?
Okay. No. Okay. And basically the certificate you sent to us was an example of what you needed and wanted. That was not Dr. Eastman's, correct?
That is correct. I'd like to confirm that. I sent a copy of an example of what that particular CME certificate looks like. That was not hers. It was not hers.
Okay. So, and it's kind of up to the board to look at. As we know, all the physician members, there's what, 1182 of us, and we all have to do CME. We can either ask her to work with our executive director and give her 30 days. If she can't do that, then we'll have to bring her back in actually for a interview. Or we can just make a motion on it now. It would basically be having her license in limbo or possibly asked Mr. Hutchison and Gail or suspended until she completed her CME. So she would, we can maybe consider giving her 30 days to rectify the matter with the executive director. If not, then we'll have to bring her back, or we can make a motion on now. It's going to be up to the board.
This is Dr. Popiel. I agree with you, Gail, from reading what she sent. I think at the last minute, she decided to essentially make the statement, but not overtly, I haven't completed the CMEs. You know, that's kind of how I read her email as well. So, you know, I had a couple of questions for you, Gail, before we jump into this. Historically, when we do our license renewal, my recollection was, is that there was a box that you checked stating that you did the CME. Is that correct?
Right, that's correct. What's changing a little bit this year is the Thentia. If you may recall, back in May, I think we started to move forward with the Thentia program, which most of the other boards is doing as well. And with that, it's going to require, I believe, at the time of renewal, that the physician upload those CME certificate documents. So to prepare for that, I sent out a couple of emails,
right,
to the box, you know, letting them know that, hey, this is going through. Well, last minute, Thentia didn't get done the actual software. So we sort of had to make do with what we had. And so that's why I sort of said, you know, you need to submit the CME documentation this year. Everybody has to submit it. And please, you know, forward it to the info address.
Right.
It is in the process of changing. Like I said, I expected it to fully be implemented this renewal period. Unfortunately, it was not.
But my question, so I understood what you just said, mm-hmm, but my question is, she kind of brought up the point like, well, you've accepted this in the past. And so I was just kind of trying to remember exactly how it looked when you did the renewal. My recollection was you had to certify, yes, I've done the CMEs, and that should I be audited, I would be able to provide those. Because she's, I kind of get the idea that she's making, well, you guys have never requested them before, I shouldn't have to provide them again. But I was under the impression that it was pretty clear, even on all of her historical license renewals, that it was clear you had to have documentation should you be asked for it.
Correct. So there's a statute that says our rule requires board staff to audit at least 10% of the physicians. So all of the physicians, in the historical outlook on that is all of the physicians, when you renew, you check a box that said, yes, I have done this.
Right.
And historically, per rule, me would audit 10% of folks. And I would have to physically send them notification, you're being audited. You would have to supply me with the certificates of completion and all of that. So
yeah,
the audit has always been in place. It's just the fact that now pretty much 100% of the physicians are being audited versus 10%.
Yeah. It seems 100% clear with the communication you sent mid-year last year, the communication you sent at license renewal, mm-hmm, that the CMEs are required, and we all have to put in the effort to get those CMEs. So I guess the other question is, if she can't do CMEs because of her medical condition, I'm not sure how she's practicing sitting and seeing patients either.
Well, and that's true. And you know, she does have the option to just retire her license if she wants to. And I'm more than happy to have a conversation with her. I don't understand the animosity towards me.
100%. My next point is, I have no idea why she's going to get attitude with you when you're solely asking for something that's clearly been asked for when she did her license renewal. So, you know, right. I don't have any need to provide any sort of leeway. I don't know whether that means just, hey, we need to do an investigative report and bring her up next month, or like you said, Bruce, hey, you're suspended until you provide completion of 30 hours.
Right. I mean, I see it, you know, kind of the same way you see, Brian, on both ways. It's either, well, three ways to do it, and would be, one is you give her 30 days to get this straightened up. That's one. Option two would be suspend it until you do it. And option three would be to move her into a different type of interview.
Yeah, I don't care for the way she spoke with Gail. I don't care for the way she's handled this. She's not here to even have a conversation about this. So I don't have any reason to, you know, do anything other than whatever the board decides. But I kind of feel like she needs to get this done or decide to retire her license if she can't sit and practice medicine or do her CMEs.
Yeah.
This is Dr. Spatt. Yeah, I think she have history with the board before. I believe I think her license was suspended at one point, so she should be aware of what the requirement is. So at this point, I feel that she should know about it already instead of telling her again. So that's just my opinion on it.
Yeah, I mean, I was reviewing the information a couple times, and then there is on this email of December 4th, it says, and this is to the executive director, which, as you were saying, Brian, it doesn't make much sense. I do not share CME files with anyone. You have to. I mean, this is the way it goes. So I don't understand her attitude with the executive director. And I think all we were trying to do was get this straightened out for her. But
right.
I don't see it. Has her wanting to cooperate. Was there any tone at all, Gail, that she said, you know, how can I get this remedied or rectified or any of those words?
Not the emails back and forth. It was mostly argumentative. And like I said, the email this morning sort of alluded to the fact that, okay, yes, she didn't do the CME. And therefore cannot, that's the reason she can't provide the certificate. Whatever the board wants to do at this point.
Can we just impose action based on the fact that this was just that this wasn't quote unquote an investigative report?
Excuse me. Sorry, this is Casey. I think what it is, is the board's unable to verify that this was a complete renewal application. And I think, so the cleanest way to do it, I think the board could just administratively suspend her license pending the additional information the board requires to confirm that she has complied with the rules governing reinstatement applications.
Can I tie up what you just said, Mr. Hutchinson, into a motion?
Absolutely.
I would make a motion for what Mr. Hutchinson just said, is to suspend until she's able to tie up and clean up the situation with the CMEs that are outstanding.
This took a spot up second.
And roll call, please, Dr. Sablik.
Yeah, I'll have to go along with that. Yes.
Dr. Popio?
Hi.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
The motion carries.
All right. That takes care of number six. And let's move on to number seven, review consideration and possible action regarding motion to dismiss granted to the board in the matter of Dr. Erica Sykes McKean. And that would be, I guess Mr. Hutchinson or Ms. Anthony can give us the rundown on that.
Actually, I can do that, Dr. Sablik. And this is just for FYI to the board. As you know, that Ms. McKean has filed complaints with the courts. This has been going on for some time. The fourth quarter case evaluation basically notes the appearance of seriously mentally ill, or that she is seriously mentally ill, and she continues to file inconsistent pleadings. The fourth quarter, I received this on January 30th, 2024. And the court did grant a dismissal of the case. So this case is finally dismissed through the court system. If you recall, Ms. McKean, we removed her ability to practice. She no longer holds a license. So at this point in time, this should be a conclusion of this case matter.
Any questions, board members? No? Okay. Next is review consideration possible action regarding status of judicial review and action filed by Colleen Huber. Do we want to go to executive or do you want to stay in open?
There's not much to add. So I, unless the board wants to, of course, we could. But we had the trial last week. There's no ruling or decision on anything yet. The court instructed the parties to file their proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law by April 1st, at which time the court would take the whole case under advisement and issue its order. Issue findings of fact and conclusions of law in due course, but I don't have a date for the board.
Okay. Board members, questions for Mr. Hutchison on that?
Not right now.
No one? Okay. That was number eight. And let's go into number nine, and that's the executive director's report.
And Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, I did submit that report to you. Did anyone have any questions regarding that?
I did not.
Okay. And then number 10, I don't know if everyone's had a chance to read it. What the executive director did is she kind of took all the states with licensing and also the Arizona DO and MD rules, and they're paragraphed out. So it was a nice report. We need to kind of look at this, obviously, because this is a problem, and throw it, kind of toss it around, see how this would mix. Do we want to take the certain aspects of these various other states and the DOMD board and then try to reformulate something different? I need to get some feedback as to how we'd like to do this.
This is Dr. Popiola. I feel like kind of what you were saying, it was a nice presentation of all the different states. You know, I kind of feel like we need to go through, I guess, how does this work, Gail? We would decide what we would like the definition to be as far as the approved and not approved procedures, and then it goes to legislature for action?
Right. So if you decide you want to make a or define something in statute, then, you know, you could do that. You could order me to go forth and start the process of getting this taken care of. So it essentially, if you give me the parameters, then a draft bill could be drafted. I need to go to the legislature, get somebody to sponsor it. It has to go through that whole process. So the reality of it is, if you want to do that avenue, we're really looking at about a year or so to definitely define this in statute. But I mean, at least the board is working on it, right?
Right.
And we were going to get, and we were going to kind of weave in the AZNMA's perspective on this. I didn't know where that stood as well. If we were waiting to hear from them or they were waiting to hear from us, I don't know if anybody knew where that got left.
Hey, Dr. Popper, Dr. Spad, I thought they already gave their opinion to us last year because they
I just remember it being, I agree with you. I know we heard something. I just remember it being kind of vague and like, I don't remember there being really any definition of, like, for example, like the Utah minor surgery, you know, like, hey, these are what is approved. This is what's not approved. You know, mm-hmm. I just didn't remember seeing anything that was actually concrete or definitions of what's allowed and what's not.
Yeah, that was, yeah, it was very general. So that's why we didn't go okay. along with it. And so well, maybe the, Mr. Casey able to help us in regarding to maybe the new legislature regarding about this minor surgery subject?
So I'm sorry, what's the question? There's two ways you could do it. There's the legislative way, and that's really, I've seen other boards before hire essentially a lobbyist to get that done. And then there's the rulemaking process. You could put it in rule instead, which sometimes may work better. That's also a lengthy process. And I've also seen boards hire sort of a consultant to walk them through that because there's a lot of steps. So if you have a legislator who's willing to introduce this legislation, it can go a lot faster than the rulemaking process. But I think getting there, so it depends. Did that answer your question? Maybe not.
And Dr. Salik, members of the board, if I may, so in Casey, in order to do a rule, we have to tie it into an already established statute. I don't know if we have anything in place that we can really tie it into because we have no definition of minor surgery. All we have that may work is the definition of naturopathic medicine. We could potentially attempt to tie it into that. In the rulemaking, like for instance, I'm going through rulemaking process now. Yes, it's lengthy. It's not all that complicated, but it is lengthy. If you want whatever it is, whether it be minor surgery, office-based surgery, whatever it may be that the board decides, if you want it definitely defined in statute, it has to go through the legislative process. So you would first tell me what the exact language that you're looking at, and then we would sort of go forth and see if we can get a sponsor. Now, again, the legislation, the legislature is already in process this year, so there's no way to get it on that. It would have to be something that would be sponsored next year. But if you decide on specific language first, maybe we can tie it into something we already have in statute. I guess I'm putting this out there with all of these different, all of this different language. I think the board needs to first decide, do you want to define what is minor surgery? Do you want to define it under office-based surgery? If so, do you want it broken out what they can and cannot do? Do you want it more general? I think the board has to have discussion on what exactly they'd like to see first, and then we can move forward with what the best plan of action would be.
This is Dr. Bopiel. I got essentially for the board, but also more particularly the physician members, does it also make sense to, you know, reach out to the community as a whole with a 30 or 60 day commentary period to say, we're looking at defining minor surgery. I don't know if we want to say because of instances or incidents that have happened, or just say, hey, we're looking to provide a definition for minor surgery, you know, and get feedback from the community as a whole, pros and cons, or, you know, what they would like to see included. And I don't know if that's obviously maybe a lot of work depending on how many people respond, but I wonder if we need to kind of survey the community as a whole as well.
I'm sorry, go ahead, yeah.
I was just going to say yes, and you can have a stakeholder meeting ahead of time. You, if you choose to go the rules with the rules, there's a built-in comment period of 30 days already in the rules process. If you want to establish a subcommittee on this, you can do that as well. It might be the easiest way, maybe, just to have a sort of stakeholder meeting and get written responses back, if you will, on what you looking at. But again, does the board have any inkling on whether they want to define what is minor surgery or what is office-based surgery? Do you have a preference on the language on that?
If I look at Utah, which is in the second page, that is pretty well done and pretty well illustrated.
I agree.
You agree? Okay. So
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I just like the way it flows and the way it's written and how well it covers these various issues.
So could it be presented to kind of the community as, here's what we're looking to adopt. There's the 30-day window of commentary on this. Is that what you were kind of alluding to, Gail?
Yeah, we could certainly do that if you do some sort of, if we take Utah's definition, we sort of put it out there. I can send a blanket email to folks, include the AZNMA. We can get written response if that's what you want. Bring it back before the board. The board can review those responses. And that might be sort of a jumping off point.
And could we run that through the regulatory board such as ours, or would it have to be run through an association?
No, it would be run through ours. We could send something out for discussion purpose.
Okay. I think at least it kicks off the ball, so to speak, if we did that, because as you said, it will take probably a year, year and a half, and it depends on how much feedback we get from the community, and then obviously where the AZMA is all on this too. But maybe just to get the ball rolling.
I think that's fair, just to get things rolling, because I feel like we need to move in some way, shape, or form to get a definition in place and get a little bit more, guidelines for practitioners.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Because otherwise, we'll still be in the same gray zone we are now.
Yeah. I mean, I hate the idea of, quote unquote, restricting practice from what's been granted to us, but I also would say it only opens the door for poorly trained individuals to practice outside of what they're really should be doing.
Right. Right. So do we need a motion to allow the executive director to send out a kind of a feedback questionnaire survey?
That probably, if it's not, I'd have to check her statutory duties, but the board can always direct staff with a motion.
And do we want to have our executive director send an example and perhaps Utah as an example and then get feedback for 30 days? Or do we want to use something like Montana? I mean, which way is the board leading on this?
I just want to read Montana real quick.
You know, what we could do is take until the next meeting, have everybody review the different states and maybe put something together as, and we can send it off to Miss Anthony. And then if she feels that it covers, all of the basis, then maybe she can share it with the rest of us, and then we can come back after having read anything that any of the members have submitted to the executive director, along with the other states, you know, and find collaboration, and then ultimately picking one that might be all inclusive. You know, one of the things that, you know, in reading some of the information that I was reading with regard to regulating, you know, when you, like, as an example, if we considered the question, what is considered minor surgery, and realized suddenly that in the realm of medicine, that, you know, that there's, believe it or not, wow, there's, you know, there's 977 procedures that could be considered minor medicine, that some regulatory bodies have been have realized that what began in pursuit of attempting to do what we're doing really sent them down a rabbit hole, from the standpoint of, you know, when you actually set out to start defining procedure by procedure, and then, you know, the aftermath of, well, what about this procedure, and what about that procedure, and what if we leave this out, and you know, and then it just seems like sometimes what initially began looking like an oversight really was ingenuity on behalf of whoever you know, put the initial rule or law in place, leaving it open-ended, and then the board handling case by case with, you know, when an issue comes before the board, then the board either decides whether or not that was reasonable or not, like we do today, as opposed to, you know, getting very specific about what can and can't be done, because there's just so much, you know, to be considered. But again, that's just me. I don't have a position on it one way or the other. I'm just sharing, you know, some of the insight that I got off of my own research. But I mean, it's fine. Whatever you guys think is good, of course. I didn't know if everyone wanted to, you know, take the next 30 days to review, not only review everything again, but maybe put our own, you know, twist based on your experience here in Arizona, and then submit it to the executive director, and if she could share that with the rest of us, and then maybe we could, you know, come back and see if there's a, you know, more tailored version that we could go off of for Arizona, or if we just want to pick one of the other states and move forward.
I see it as, I mean, several options. One is, as you said, Dr. Campbell, is to kind of mold and blend from what we have. The only thing that we might want to add would be something that would be, i.e., quote, life-threatening or emergent procedure. And then we have to perhaps define what that would be. But the rest of it, maybe if the board members are okay with it, is to, we could, when we reconvene, take, let's say, Utah, we'll go back to that one, add, delete, and perhaps then have that discussed, and then at that point have our executive director send it out for commentary.
That sounds good.
I'm trying to think of the easiest way to proceed with it. And that might be, since we do have a good template of these various states, combine and blend. And then maybe the last thing to add, when I was reading this a week ago, I didn't see anything in terms of what would be like we don't have to necessarily define it, but what would be emergency life-threatening procedure. Which very, very few will run into. But at least we'll get the ball rolling if we can do that.
Makes sense.
Commentary, feedback, suggestions?
This is Dr. Popiel. I think I got a little bit lost on what your latest proposal is, Dr. Sadelik. What are you thinking?
Yeah, what I'm thinking is perhaps take, let's say, for example, Utah.
Yep.
Whatever we need to delete, add, or change, maybe put something in the statute for, i.e., life-threatening, which very few of us would deal with, but it would be covered. It most likely would be covered anyway if we needed to do that. And then come back in 30 days or whenever we have our next meeting and say, okay, you know, what do we think? And maybe in the interim, have our executive director send it kind of back and forth to us, the board members, and then we can craft it and change it as needed during that 30-day period.
And Dr. Sadelik, members of the board, this is Gail. And so it sort of sounds like what Dr. Campbell suggested is you're going to sort of craft your own language, and then the next board meeting will bring it back. The board will review that and possibly make a decision on what they feel the final version should be. And then it would go out for the comment period.
That's what I was thinking. Dr. Campbell, what was your thoughts? And Dr. Popiel, Dr. Spatt?
Oh, this is Dr. Popiel. I'm not opposed to that. I'm wondering if it's just cleaner to say, you know, Utah, for example, again, just leave it as is and say, we're starting the conversation. Here's what we're looking as adopting. We would like feedback, pros, cons, adds, subtracts, you know, kind of what the community as a whole is looking at. And then we craft our final statements from there, rather than recreating the wheel to then only look at them recreating it again once we get commentary from the community. That I'm just wondering out loud if that's just a quicker, easier, because is there a meeting in March, Gail, or is that going to be postponed? Because I'm just thinking it might be then looking at 2 months out.
So far, I haven't been able to get it rescheduled because of the OWA hearing conflict. Yeah. So, yeah, I haven't been able to get another meeting scheduled in March.
I mean, Dr. Peel, we could use Utah, for example, like you're saying. And, you know, I'm scanning the Utah as we're online. For the people that do, we don't do it in our office, but for the people that do Botox, fillers, et cetera, would Utah's law permit that? Would it not? Looks like it would be kind of a little bit of a gray zone if you took Utah. Perhaps not.
Maybe not. I'm looking at that. If approved for injection into the skin, tendons, ligaments, and joints. So I think it says if it's approved by the US FDA for injection into those areas, it's okay. So I would think Botox and fillers and all that, because they're approved by the FDA, would fall into that section as approved. That's how I would read it, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think that's a great point. And I see what you're saying. It is approved, obviously. So, I mean, we could kick out Utah and get feedback from the 1188, you know, licensed people and see where they come back at. I'm fine with that too.
I think I'm just looking at it because we've kind of been bantering this around for, I think, well over a year now. So we're not making a decision quickly, but I'm just wondering if we just get this out, get the commentary, and then we can all work together to craft what our final proposal would be.
Okay. No, I
like that's just a thought.
Yeah. No, I like that. Dr. Spear, what's your thoughts?
Oh, I like the popular idea. Definitely. Yeah. Let's do that. Let's go ahead and send out the Utah to the physician to all the physicians in the community and see what their feedback is, and then we can see what once we, you know, hear what they want in it, and maybe we can modify it and then move forward from there.
Okay. Dr. Campbell, what's your viewpoint?
I like it. The The last was simply based, I didn't know if, you know, based on, you know, your guys' day-to-day in Arizona, if there was a procedure that, you know, that you're aware of that within the in the field that is, you know, common that wasn't listed or something that you'd like to make tweaks on and add or something like that. But not knowing that, if you guys are in line with Utah, that's awesome. And I support whatever looks appropriate to you physician members. Thank you.
Ms. Gallen, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just listening and I tend to agree, but I don't really have anything to add at this point.
Okay. And then if we sent Utah out in the interim, obviously we're going to get feedback from the 1188, and it'll be interesting to see if they, what they come back with, whether STEM or PRP and all the other things that some people are doing, how right. that how that would fit in, and if they are confused that it may not fit in, at least we'll get the feedback.
Yeah, I think it'll at least give us a sense of, you know, perspectives on reading this and, you know, anything that people are doing, treating or injecting, and, you know, whether they were, whether they have concerns like that it's going to be excluded. At least it will get probably any and all thoughts on from physicians about what about this, what about that, you know, and then we can maybe, you know, take all that input into specific line items, even for add if need be, if after we read it, it's not fully, you know, inclusive of what we do want to add, we can add another line item or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Then do we need to make a motion to have our executive director do a general mailing out on this matter? If so, then
Dr. Salek, I'm sorry, members of the board, just for clarity, with that mailing would include the AZNMA, correct?
Right. Right. Because it'd be important to get their feedback and see where they are on this position. They may not want the change, which I have a feeling that may happen, but at least they'll see we're making some motion on it and moving forward.
Okay.
So I'll make the motion then, I guess, that have the executive director send out the Utah Minor Surgery to the licensees and open it up for discussion.
This is Dr. Popiel. I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Next is future agenda items. We kind of covered that we'll have this in the future, which be minor surgical coming back. Any other future agenda items that we need to look at as a board together? No?
I don't think so.
And then we'll do the call to the public.
Dr. Sadalek, members of the board, this is Baron Glasgow with the Arizona Naturopathic Medical Association.
Hi, Baron.
Hi. I just wanted to reflect on listening to the conversation regarding the minor surgery issue. Certainly the AZNMA, which already has a minor surgery task force, as I think you know, we will certainly opine on this. We did a survey such as the one that you were recommending of what doctors, what indies thought would be and would not be included in minor surgery. So we have a lot of that data already. And as you suggested, procedures such as PRP, it's going to be vitally important that whatever process or whatever definitions you end up with does not end up limiting the scope of practice of naturopathic doctors. That's one of the reasons that it's been somewhat vague for the last number of years, is that the vagueness, as I think Dr. Campbell kind of alluded to, worked to our benefit. So we would like, as an association, like to be integrally part of this discussion, and we look forward to working with the board and with Gail on this. Thank you.
Baron, since we got you real quick, do you have
yes.
A couple paragraphs already drafted on the monosurgical?
We don't. And as you might recall, the recommendation that we made some months ago was, and again, it really kind of reflects what Dr. Campbell was thinking of, is instead of defining certain specific procedures, because that would not include procedures that you may not be thinking of now or you know, future stuff, that instead of focusing on specific procedures, that the board look at factors such as training, postgraduate training, in-office training, experience, certifications, accreditation, things like that, rather than specific procedures. So it's approaching it from two different divergent ways of looking at it.
Okay.
Dr. Salek, members of the board, I'm sorry, this is Gail and Baron. I think what Baron is discussing is the scope of practice guidelines they submitted during the procedure that we were talking about. What is it called? The substantive policy statement that the board made, which basically just reflected what's already in statute. And then the board rescinded that policy statement because it was basically redundant. It was just what was in statute. So, but we do still have that information from the AZNMA regarding those guidelines. So we could certainly add that into the discussion about this as well.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Gail.
Baron, have you had a chance to review the Utah? And it's been a while now.
Dr. Sadalak, in fact, during the discussion, I pulled up. Is it what in Utah is defined as minor office procedures?
It looks like Utah, it says Utah minor surgical or surgery, not defined.
It's 7A minor office procedures means, and it's defined minor office procedure. They don't define minor surgery. Instead, they define minor office procedures.
So I do have that. Yes, thank you.
So we could then start maybe with some of the work that you've done, Baron, because that would be, you know, great to have, and then try to work it with something like a template of Utah, and always keep in mind, obviously, procedures will train, will change, and also trainings, et cetera, should probably be worded into this too. But to get the ball maybe kicked off, maybe just go ahead and as a board send it out and let's see where we can go with this.
Thank you, Dr. Sauer. Could I ask for one clarification? Did I understand Gail to say that there will not be or may not be a March meeting?
That's correct. We had a conflict with an OWA hearing that same day. So I'm trying to reschedule that March meeting, but so far I haven't been able to get a firm date.
Okay. I was simply trying to kind of establish a timeline that we as AZNMA need to work within.
Any other questions? Baron, any more comments from you?
No, thank you.
Did we decide on a timeline for the minor surgery feedback? Should we do 60 or 30 days? What did we make a definition on that?
I'm thinking, you know, let's go 60.
I think so too.
Yeah. Because otherwise, I want to get the feedback from the AZNMA because that's important, because that's going to basically encompass our 1188 licensees. And then if we don't have a March meeting, then we'll be behind the eight ball. So I'm thinking, Dr. Papil, going with a good 60 days.
I agree. And Baron, sorry, one more question. Do you have any idea how many people responded to your minor surgery questionnaire?
I'd have to take a look. I don't recall off the top of my head.
I didn't know if it was a good substantial number or just 40 or 30 or something. So not that it matters. I guess everybody has a chance to respond. I just was curious what sort of numbers had actually gotten back to you guys.
Probably the latter, you know, how people respond to surveys.
Really popularly. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Barry, can I ask you one quick question? What was the general temperament when you guys sent that out? I know you didn't get a ton of feedback, but did you get a lot of resistance, or did you get most, the people that did respond, was it mostly positive?
It wasn't a survey of how they felt about it, but rather which procedures do you think should be and should not be included in the definition of minor surgery?
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. It sounds like we got a good place to get started and kind of navigate from here. So we'll go 60 days and see where we come back.
Sounds good.
Good.
Okay.
Any other questions before we move to adjournment? Call from the public. We're done with that. If no other questions, then we're looking at 12:51, and I will make the motion we adjourn.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Spath, Dr. Popiel, Ms. Gallon, Dr. Campbell. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.